When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Have you ever heard the old phrase, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. See, it goes to people's ability to make good, intelligent decisions. America voted Barack Obama in as president in 2008. The economy got worse. Our relationship with nearly every other country got worse. Obama was supposed to improve the lives and jobs of black Americans and eradicate racial tensions. It all got worse. He fooled you, and then you reelected him. He fooled you twice. Shame on you. We weren't fooled because we are the American Adversaries at Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And now Hillary has aligned herself to the Obamacare debacle, saying it's good, but she would tweak it a little. Blair Adams here with a question. How much shame will you have if you're fooled a third time? Our host knows three times is not a charm, but he doesn't even know what charm is. Christopher Hart!
Thank you so very much, Blair Adams. I'll tell you something I'd like to tweak is Hillary Clinton's nose. You remember how we used to get each other down and you'd tweak it?
Oh, yeah. The little spin there.
Get it between your knuckles and tweak it.
You heard what she said down here in Miami.
Yeah, to the University of Miami yesterday. Oh. Yeah, sure enough.
It's good.
Yeah, right. Okay, folks, I do know a group of people who have made a good, intelligent decision. And, of course, it's you, because you're tuned in to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Blair Adams, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, folks, for the best in general dentistry, especially Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Tell him I said hey. All right, folks, welcome to the show. We got another very important show, I think, lined up for you today, especially you folks who live here locally up the street in Apopka, because we have one of the mayoral candidates for Apopka mayor, one of the candidates, I should say, for Apopka mayor. Glenn Chansey's in the studio with us. He's going to join us here in just a few minutes. And that election is coming up March 11th. For you folks who live in Apopka, this is a chance for you to have a say in local politics.
That's not 2 weeks away.
That's right. That's right. So we'll be talking to Glenn Chansey here momentarily. But, of course, you can be a part of the show today, too. If you have a question about the mayor's race in Apopka, give us a call. Or if you have another comment, 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. And at some point during today's show, we're going to give away a couple of bottles of Roxy Pacifics.
Yeah, because we missed it yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, we offered it to a fella, and for whatever reason, he decided not to. So that just didn't sit with me overnight. So we're going to have to give away some Roxy Pacifics. It's on the rocks. Ed and Lou Ann Roxy are great folks. This is all natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. And please listen later on into the show today at the end of the third segment when Lair gives the latest testimonials. This is fascinating stuff. And this is all natural, and we'll give away two bottles of it free at that phone number. When we give out the word, the first two callers will get the free bottles. Okay, so we'll do that here sometime during the show today. But first, I'd like to talk just a little bit about the Arizona veto. Governor Brewer did veto the bill yesterday that was called the anti-gay bill. It was called this and it was called that. Whether or not it was anti-gay, we have a saying around here, and that is, in politics, perception is reality. And if it was perceived as such, then that's all it means to people. And it's been vetoed. I didn't think that the law was going to do much good, and let me try to explain a little bit better why. First of all, what this law simply did was to say that if a business were to be sued by anyone for refusing business for reasons that could be substantiated on religious grounds, presumably a gay wedding might fit that category, that in the defense of that lawsuit, the business could cite religious reasoning for it. See, the reason I don't like laws like this is it seems to me to be sort of a backwards approach, if you will. Why not try to limit the power of somebody to sue in the first doggone place? What, you're going to make it easier for somebody to deal with a lawsuit? Right. Yeah, tell me all about it. Once you're stuck with a lawsuit, there ain't nothing easy about it, except the lawyer taking your money. That part's real easy. All right? So if you want to do something about this threat of lawsuit, tort reform is the way to do it. You go after the ability to file a quote-unquote frivolous lawsuit to begin with, rather than this approach. So I thought that the approach from the very start was backwards. I didn't think that the law did anything to improve what the Arizona citizens already have. So it was a sad waste of time. And unfortunately, all it did was muck things up even more.
Well, and people tried to liken it to a certain law in, I think, 11 other states. And this one had distinct differences.
Well, it did. It did. But the problem, and this is something that Republicans need to keenly be aware of, in election time especially, in politics, as in much of life in general, perception is reality. And if the truth is different from perception, you have got to effectively make that link up. And in a situation like this, when it's so emotionally charged and you know the media is not going to give you any quarter, it's just not a wise approach, in my opinion. And as you folks know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, I call myself a conservatarian. I do not see big government answers as the solution to any doggone thing. I'm like Ronald Reagan. Big government is the problem, not the solution. If you're looking to government for the solution, you're looking in the wrong doggone place, and it's out of doggone laziness and lack of creativity for other solutions. And they are out there. You Christians, and I consider myself to be one as well, our solutions are in the Bible, right? That's where our solutions are, not in the hands of government. All right. If you have any thoughts on that, I'm going to move on now. She did veto it. You know, this issue in general is not over, but this issue in particular is. But if you have any comments on that, 407-774-8255. What, really quickly, though, one final comment. Al called the show late yesterday when we were talking David Levitt. And Al made a similar point, I believe, that I was trying to make earlier in the week, and that is, and this might be hard to deal with on a daily basis were it to become such, but if I were a Christian florist and a couple of gay guys came in, or lesbians, and said they wanted me to provide them with my services, I would say, okay, but here's the caveat. Here's the string attached. Every step along the way, you are going to see Jesus Christ in my work. You are going to hear it from me. You're going to see it on my receipt. You are going to see it in my flower work. Because that's who I am. And I want to provide you the opportunity to find forgiveness for your sins as well, whatever they are. Take the evangelical approach. And you can't take an evangelical approach if you throw them out. If they come to you and they are, in your opinion, sinners, you are obligated, in my opinion, to offer them redemption via believing in Jesus Christ. And by the way, while we're on the subject, there's a great new movie coming out this weekend called Son of God. Starts tomorrow. If you got a chance to see it, you know me, I rarely send you folks out to see anything that comes out of Hollywood, but this is something decent that's come out. This is in the tradition of the Ten Commandments, if you will. But please, if you do have an opportunity to go see it, go see it. Okay, I see we've lit up the phone lines. I want to take a few phone calls, but then we are going to move on after this break to talk to Glenn Chan. Sherry, thank you for calling, and we appreciate you being out there as always.
Thanks, Chris. Larry, this is for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, yesterday on your opening, you were talking about Reverend William Owens.
Yes.
Where did you hear about him from?
I mean, where was the source of what? It was on Fox.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't get that. I heard him on the Medford show just right before your show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, today he was on there, right?
No, yesterday.
Yesterday, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it'd be nice if you could get him as a guest on your show.
Well, Nostradamus is listening, so Nostradamus, I got another one to add to your list there.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's two websites he's wanting people to go to. It's the first website is holderimpeachment.com.
Yeah.
And the other one is capus.org.
Holderimpeachment.com and PAPUSA.org.
No, PAP, Coalition of African American Pastors.
Oh, CAP.
CAP. You know, okay. Like baseball cap, but two A's in the middle.
Okay.
PAPUS.org.
All right.
They lost him at the end of the interview, but they never got him back. So.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if you had him or Carl got him on your show.
Okay.
Man, this guy is hot.
Yeah.
He wants the Holder out of there.
Yes. Yeah.
Poor Eric Holder, who's in the hospital right now, Sherry.
I heard that on the news today.
Yeah, we're not going to wish anybody ill health, but I bet you one thing. He's not being taken care of by Obamacare. Thank you, Sherry. We appreciate it, and we'll see what we can do about getting the Reverend Owen on.
Thanks, Sherry.
All right, yeah. All right. Let's go now to Eva. And Eva, please make it quick because we're coming up on the break.
Yes, the reason she made her decision yesterday is the reason I do not vote for women.
And you mean? You have to be more specific than that.
Well, the only reason I'm not even going to say her name because it doesn't deserve my strength.
Well, let's just say the governor of Arizona.
Okay. You said it. Thank you. but I don't even call her governor.
Let me ask you this. Let me be more specific. Like I say, we're running out of time. Do you think that she backed down from a good fight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And okay. As a Christian, you're not supposed to back down.
Okay. All right. All right, I appreciate that.
Apparently, Eva supported it.
All right, let's go now to Al and get his thoughts on the subject. Al, thank you for calling back again tonight.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry I have to call consecutive days, but the gentleman yesterday didn't answer my question. I mean, he did, but from a libertarian point of view, my question still is, why do Christians exclude some sinners like the gays and not everyone else who are also considered sinners?
Well, I don't know that they exclude them. Perhaps their approach is sometimes a little backwards or backhanded would be my response. Like I said, I would look at these as opportunities to spread the wealth, as it were. In other words, to spread the message of Jesus Christ. And you can spread the message in church on Sunday, or you can go into the holes in society during the week and spread it there. And to me, you're going to find the new blood in the holes in society, not in church on Sunday. So
okay,
thanks
good.
A lot. I'm sorry, Al, go ahead. One last thought. I got to let you go.
I said good. I like that answer.
All right. Thank you, sir. Listening, and we appreciate you being out there as well, Eva. And, of course, you too, Sherry. We really appreciate you folks being out there. Real quickly, and as a sort of a little show of our appreciation, 2 weeks from Monday, which is going to be St. Patrick's Day, we'd love to have you come out and join us at Cafe Positano right up here on the east side of Apopka, 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436, where we're going to do a live remote drive time broadcast. And then afterwards, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a little entertainment. Of course, there's going to be great food and drinks there. We'll have a little entertainment. We'll maybe do another little trivia game. We'll see if we can put all that together. We're going to have some door prizes. But the main thing is just come on out and break a little bread with us and enjoy the moment. That will be 2 weeks from Monday, St. Patrick's Day. Of course, it starts at 5 o'clock and it ends whenever it ends. That'll be at Cafe Positano. If you'd like to make a reservation for that night or any occasion, their number is 407-774-8080.
Well, we're also hoping Pasquale will come up with a green pizza special that night to go along with green beer.
Obarba.
We'll be right back.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
Okay, we've got another person likewise in the studio with us right now.
Yeah, but you can't call him sexy. You're a guy.
Okay, folks, welcome
Don't
back to the
to
show.
Don't ask me to bake a cake either, Chris.
407-774-8255 is our number. And welcome back. I am Christopher Hart, of course, along with Lair Adams. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. There's a big election coming up right up the street here from us in the studios in Apopka. And it's for the mayor of Apopka. And one reason why it's a big election is because the mayor that's the mayor, John Land, has been the mayor just about forever. So it's
America's oldest mayor.
And this time, though, he's getting a serious challenge. And one of those challengers is in the studio with us right now. And it's, I think, incumbent upon us to get to know him just a little bit. Okay, so I'd like to introduce you folks to Glenn Chansey, who's running for mayor of Apopka. Welcome to the show today, Glenn.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming into the studio. First of all, please tell us just a little bit about your background, if you would.
Okay, well, I'm originally from a small town in South Georgia named Brunswick, right there on I-95, just north of Jacksonville. It's where I grew up, went to high school there, graduated from high school, and I probably am the only alumnus that ever chose to go to University of Florida. Go Gators. People around here may
no
have heard.
No dogs, huh?
No, not for me. No, I went south as quickly as I could. Folks around here may have heard of University of Florida. We used to have a football program. We will have one again, God willing. God willing, we'll have one again. So I went to University of Florida and did a major. My undergraduate was in political science and history. I specialized in Slavic studies. And then I was planning on being a Marine Corps officer. I was planning on being intelligence work. And so that was kind of what I was focused on. But that plan didn't pan out. So I ended up taking a job for a few years lecturing at a university in Poland. And so I lived in Poland for a few years, about 3 years there. Came back, ended up in the technology space eventually. And so I do have an MBA now. I have an MBA in finance, and I do have a certified treasury professional designation. Those are things I picked up because I am a product manager for a software company, have been for about 16 years now, designing multinational banking software applications. So done a lot of travel, done a lot of things like that. Been living in Apopka since 1998. I do have two beautiful children who are native Apopkans. So even though I am not a native, I feel like I've been a transplant for a while, and I do have two native Apopkan children. And so I've been involved in the community for a while now.
Well, obviously, if you've been in Apopka since 1998, you've seen quite a bit of changes.
Yes, the Apopka of today is not at all like the Apopka of yesteryear. It's definitely not the town I moved into. It has grown and changed tremendously, and we've been excited by some of those changes and not so excited by others.
Okay, we'll get to that in here and shortly.
Exactly. That's what I think we're getting ready to head into.
Well, I want to a little bit more about the man himself, if you will. Mm-hmm. Glenn, you're obviously a successful businessman. I mean, you've got a lot of experience. Why politics? Why mayor of Apopka?
Well, the why politics is because somebody's got to do this. The original concept of politics in the United States was actually as public service. This was something that you leave the plow, you leave the farm, you leave the law practice, you leave the business behind. You go, you serve the community, and you go back. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all these men had careers. They had professions. They had things that they were doing with their lives. They took time out to go serve the public, to go be part of our process, and then they went home. And I feel like when you do that, you bring a free market, you bring a private sector mentality to the office. and then you turn around and you go home, and then you recharge the batteries, learn more, and then maybe come back, do something else. So that's the idea, is that in Apopka, we've had a professional politician who's been running the city for 60 years, and that this is really essentially what he's done. And then I feel that what we need is, we need new ideas that are coming from the private sector. Is the 21st century, is the era of technology, it is the era of globalization, and Apopka needs that kind of a vision that comes from the private sector, someone who's been formed in an environment where we were not allowed to fail. I'm not allowed to fail.
In private business.
If I fail, I'm out of a job.
Right.
So I have to attack problems. I have to solve root. I have to identify root causes to problems. I have to go in and I have to make things better. I have to design products that work. I have to convince people to buy them. Government is a service provider that you can't fire. And so government seems to have this unbelievable ability to continue to fail and fail and fail. But because they have police power to make you continue to pay for that failure, you just keep having to put up with it. And I want to change the paradigm there.
Are you party affiliated?
I am party affiliated. Let me caution this. This is a nonpartisan election. So
right.
I am not running as a representative of any political party, but I am a registered Republican and have been a registered Republican my entire life, and have no plans to ever change that.
Have you run for office before?
This is actually my first time. I do have I have been a campaign manager before. Most recently, it was up in Georgia for an individual who was running for House. So I have been involved in the political process before, but this is the first time where I was the guy with the microphone in my face, or the guy that they were pointing the camera at. It's a whole lot different when you're organizing the events than when you're the guy that they're actually having to listen to.
Okay, real quickly, we're going to have to take a hard break here, but before we go to that, what's your website for people who want to find out more or perhaps help you out?
Yeah, glennchancy.com, GlennChancy.com.
It's very simple, glennchancy.com, GlennChancy.com. Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and take the break now. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Glenn. We'll get into some of the issues that's going on here, because there's a big issue that's actually got nationwide attention. It was in the Wall Street Journal today. So we have a lot to talk about with Glenn when we come back.
Coming up next, the news, of course, and then our second half of the American Adversaries Drive Time Hour. Don't forget, we are here Sunday through Friday, always at 5 o'clock, Sunday nights for 3 hours. We'll see you in a minute. Tucker boys are cooking down in Carolina. People down in Florida can't be still when Leonard Skinner's picking down in Jackson.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
There's more news today about Obamacare, and of course, it's bad. But this time, SoundbiteRx.com has found it to be more bad news for our pocketbooks.
Well, I think that's going to be the way things go from now on, Chris, as far as Obamacare goes. This particular article is about a surprise tax in Obamacare premium, and it's not just impacting the uninsured. It's actually impacting anyone who had health coverage before the Affordable Care Act. And if you take a look at the article today, it talks about how obviously there are 21 new taxes that are associated with the Affordable Care Act. But this one is going to impact every American who has health insurance, didn't have health insurance, plans to have health insurance, and it's impacting the actual carriers and the companies that are providing it, and they're going to pass it on to the consumers, which has been the watchdogs of America have been saying this is what was going to happen. And today they put out information that shows that's exactly what's going to happen to everyone. We're going to all be hit with increased premiums because of these taxes. It's going to be added to the premiums of all the people who are insured.
Well, to be clear, it's a tax on the premium. So, of course, it's sort of like a sales tax on top of the premium. And so far, only one insurance company, Blue Cross of Alabama, is brave enough to reveal the tax in its premium statements.
Well, that's correct. And I think that what's happening is these carriers are tired of carrying the burden of having this information when the Obama administration is doing nothing but painting a beautiful picture of how everything is, when in reality all the insurance carriers behind the scenes know that they're going to have to pass on this cost somewhere, and they're going to do it. And Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alabama, you're right, they were brave enough to come out and do it, but I think you're going to find more insurance carriers are going to come out and say it, because they're not going to sit back and take the blame.
All right. Great work once again, Ted. Folks, don't forget to take that cure for ignorance. Go to soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Champion Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. You better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Don't mess with Johnny B. Bad.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios for the best in Mercury Free Dentistry. 407-678-3399 is your number. I'm Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we're joined once again in the studio by our guest today, Glenn Chansey, who's a candidate for the mayor of Apopka. That election is coming up March 11th. That's a mere 1 week from this coming Tuesday. So you folks who live up here in the street in the city of Apopka, please do get out and vote and be a part of the process. Glenn, we talked a little bit before the break about you yourself. And by the way, folks, you can go to Glenn Chansey, GlennChancy.com to find out more about Glenn and perhaps contribute to his campaign or volunteer for him if you can. But real quickly, you described yourself. You said you were party affiliated as a Republican. Are you a Republican in the traditional sense, which would be a conservative, or are you a Republican, say, in the what might be considered the modern-day establishment sense? And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, totally understand what you're talking about. I'm really more of a I've gone through various labels. I've identified myself as a paleo-conservative, a libertarian-conservative, libertario-conservative. It's very hard. I would say that probably the greatest influence on my life was Ronald Reagan. Growing up in the early 80s, that was definitely a great influence of mine. But there have been other influences as well. I do believe in a lot of what Ron Paul had to say about the founding of this country. I do believe I support a lot of other Republicans as well, have a lot of good things to say out there. I am definitely not part of the country club set. Now, I've always wanted to be invited to join that country club, but nobody ever extended an invitation, so I just kind of had to work my way
around. You don't fit in.
I don't. I really don't fit in. But
you're better off not. Talk about a den of iniquity. Let's talk about some issues. I think the biggest one, and this is from an outside observer because I do not live in Apopka. Our producer, Nostra Dennis, does, however, seems to be the red light cameras. Would you consider that to be the biggest issue?
I would think that is probably the biggest motivational issue, because I think one way to look at this is they used to say that a conservative was a liberal who had been robbed. And I think a libertarian is a conservative who's been robbed by his government. And what you're dealing with, the red light camera issue, is just highway robbery by your local government in coordination with a private enterprise organization that's out of Arizona.
And by the way, folks, I referenced this before the break. This issue of red light cameras is not just, of course, in Central Florida. It's a big issue all over the country. There's an article about it on the front of page, the bottom of the front page of today's Wall Street Journal. I just want to read just a few little paragraphs out of it so we can get sort of a feel for the debate that's going on nationwide. Local and state governments across the country are tapping the brakes on red light cameras. After a decade of steady growth, the number of communities using cameras to catch drivers who run stoplights has fallen about 6% since 2012 to 508 communities, according to an insurance and highway safety bureau. Ohio and Florida are considering doing what seven other states have done, and that is banning them all together. And one of the reasons why is what Glenn just referred to. They are basically, you remember the old reference, a speed trap? Well, this is basically the modern day equivalent of a speed trap. Let me read two more paragraphs here. Opponents of the industry would like the story to be that the the demise of the red light camera is upon us. But nothing could be farther from the truth, said Charles Torito, a spokesman for American Traffic Solutions. But an increasing number of city and county officials are questioning their worth and pulling the plug. They cite the hassles of dealing with erroneous tickets and complaints from drivers, many of whom perceive the cameras as invasive. Mostly, however, officials point to studies that claim the cameras do little to reduce accidents and, in some cases, may increase them. Is that your understanding?
Absolutely. We've actually been pointing that out, myself and some other local activists, that we actually took on this issue starting in 2009. We actually founded a website called bandthecams.org, primarily as a result of the tickets in Apopka that were being handed out. So Apopka has the fourth highest income from these tickets. We have 22 red light cameras in Apopka. So for a city of 44,000 people to have issued over 200,000 citations gives you an idea as to the scale of the issue here in Apopka. And everything that that article is saying is absolutely true. They do increase accidents. They do not increase safety. They
and, of course, that's why they're being sold to us, that they would reduce accidents, increase safety.
Sure, but what ends up happening, we actually talked to a member of, he's stepping down to run for a different office, but he's actually in Tallahassee right now. We actually talked to him, and we were asking about the ban on red light cameras, and he is actually a Republican, and he said, I can't support that ban on red light cameras. It'll cost $100 million at the state level. So as soon as you get the cameras turned off, as soon as the microphone's turned off, as soon as you're behind closed doors, they will admit that this is simply a tax. It's a tax on people who cannot afford to pay it. You give a $158 tax to someone on a fixed income, and you end up having – they have to make a decision between groceries and paying that ticket. You give that ticket to a grandmother because she owns the car, even though the grandchild borrowed the car, because you're not actually ticketing the driver as you would with a police officer.
You're ticketing the car.
You're ticketing the car. You're pretending that a piece of property can commit an infraction. Now, the whole thing is simply it's all about money. It's not about safety at all. They make a pretense of this. We've been fighting it since 2009, and we've been fighting an uphill battle. I'm the only candidate running for mayor. There's four of us running for mayor in Apopka. I'm the only candidate committed to banning the red light cameras. The other three are afraid. Either they're taking money from the red light camera companies as contributions, or they're simply afraid to come out against the red light cameras because they know that they're going to then have to figure out a way to replace that money that's in that city budget.
Well, now, I know that Mayor John Land, the incumbent, is all for them. He wants them. He got mm-hmm. them there. It was part of his doing. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that the other two candidates are for them or just too shy about doing anything about them?
No, the other two candidates have endorsed the cameras.
They have.
So I am the only candidate running out of four. There's only just me. Now, I look at Apopka, and I look at the number of red light cameras we have, and I look at the fact that we have also played games with the yellow lights, like all the other municipalities, in order to increase the number of infractions that we ticket and make
right.
more money.
Mm-hmm.
I look at what that does to safety, and we know now we have regulations about that to try to increase the safety because longer yellow light equals more safety. And I look at the impression. You try to drive through downtown Apopka, and it's red light camera after red light camera. The chilling effect that that has on the business climate. Cocoa Beach just realized that. They got rid of their cameras because they want to be a more friendly, more open, and welcoming town. You want people to come and visit your town. You don't want to drive them away.
Now, Glenn, let me ask you a question. Was the red light camera idea sold to Apopka more for safety, or was it really sold more to increase revenue? Because if it was to increase revenue, if that was a big selling point, then it is nothing more than just like Chris was saying.
I don't think they ever sell these things based on that, though, do they, Glenn?
Actually, well, I think a lot of people would say, oh, wow, I can increase revenue. I can actually catch people now and increase our revenue.
They don't sell it that way, do they?
To the city.
It's a two-track sales process, though. Okay, let me expound on that just a minute. Okay, I got an inside track on this actually from my hometown of Brunswick, where I actually had an opportunity to talk to the sheriff for Glenn County about the sales pitch that they gave him. American Traffic Solutions gave him the same sales pitch.
And that's the private operation that runs the cameras in Apopka and many other municipalities.
Absolutely. So ATS there's the public sales pitch where they come in and in public before the commission, before the cities, they give the sales pitch about safety. We're going to increase safety. But then the behind-the-scenes sales pitch is, look at what you can do with all this wonderful revenue.
Yep.
Look at the soccer leagues. Look at that. That's the pitch. So there's a two-track pitch here, as
right.
there often is.
One for the public and then the truth.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
Glenn, if you were to do away with the cameras, how would you fill the hole of the budget?
Well, we're going to have to look at a couple things, okay? The first of all is I'm a firm proponent of zero-based budgeting. Now, traditional budgeting in a municipality is that we take last year's numbers and then we increase it. We argue over increasing.
Right.
Now, private businesses tend not to work that way. Okay, they would tend to go back and say that we need to cost justify every single thing we're doing.
Right, so they tend to want to work the other way.
They want to work the other way because you want to reduce cost. So I would start off with zero-based budgeting. That's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to throw out the budgets that we've had before, and we're going to start with that yardstick, and then we're going to look for efficiencies that we can realize. The other thing that we have to understand, too, is that when you've had a 60-plus year incumbent, there's an awful lot of waste, fraud, and inefficiency that's going to pile up. So when you go take that real close look at every single thing you're doing from a zero baseline, I guarantee you you're going to identify a substantial cost savings. But even beyond that, I've said this over and over again, red light cameras, because they increase accidents, University of South Florida has proven that, because they do encourage malfeasance in terms of reducing yellow light times, because they do penalize people who cannot afford to pay. Even if we absolutely totally had to have this money, this is the wrong way to raise revenue. If you needed to raise revenue, you could actually raise a smaller amount of revenue because you don't have to share. If you had a local tax, you wouldn't be sharing that with a private company in Arizona. You wouldn't be sharing that with Tallahassee. You would collect the money here. So even if we came through and absolutely identified that, yes, we have a shortfall, I would much rather have either a local option sales tax or some other method of raising money that kept all of the money locally in Apopka. There is no reason to be supporting a camera company with our money out in Arizona.
And make no mistake, many studies have been done on this, and they find that the best way to increase safety and reduce accidents is to actually lengthen the time of the yellow light.
Absolutely.
Shorten it, not put up cameras or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is a camera that you ostensibly don't even know is there going to increase your safety?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, no. I had a really fun interaction with a deputy sheriff for Orange County who he lives in Apopka and found out I was running. Comes up, meets me at an event, and says, "What are you going to do about those scammers, those red light scammers?" And he just goes off. Now, this is a sheriff. He said, "If I stop someone, I'm going to ticket that driver, and if I stop them usually for running a red light, it's because I've also observed a pattern of reckless behavior. I'm actually potentially going to take a dangerous driver off the road." What this camera does is it sends you a ticket in the mail. It sends a ticket in the mail, not to the driver, but to the owner of the vehicle after the fact, after who knows? I mean, if they're impaired in some way, they've already killed someone. So how is that making a difference in safety?
Well, as Lair said, just chase the money trail. But obviously that's going to be a big point in some people's minds when they go into the polls and vote on March 11th for the mayor. Glenn Chansey is the only one that wants to get rid of those red light cameras in Apopka. So if you live in Apopka, you don't like those cameras, he is your man. You want to keep them around, maybe even have more, elect John Land back to be the mayor. Where are you looking for votes? Are you just looking in the traditional places, going to Republican groups, or are you looking elsewhere as well?
Oh, absolutely not. We've been campaigning in South Apopka. We've been looking for to make as much contact as we can to members of the community that have been poorly served by the ongoing administration.
What's the response you're getting?
Oh, a fantastic response. I've had people say to me, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually talking to a mayoral candidate," because they've never met the mayor and they've never met a mayoral candidate.
In 60 years, John Land's never been to the south of Apopka?
He may have been, but if he went there 40 years ago, then the people I'm talking to don't remember it or weren't even born. So we're spending time out there talking to people. For example, take South Apopka, for example, okay? A tenth of a mile from the corner of from Main Street and Park, we have vacant lots. The vacant lots owned by the city that are full of trash and are absolutely, totally economically unproductive. Why aren't those being developed? Why are we pouring development dollars everywhere in the community except we're not doing anything right there a tenth of a mile off of Main Street. You have an enterprise zone. Now, let's talk about the enterprise zone. We have an enterprise zone. We've had enterprise zone in South Apopka forever. But from 2005 to 2009, you had 8 successful applications for benefits totaling $180,000. It made no difference. So that, whether you like that state program or don't like that state program, and I have my grave doubts about the efficacy of that state program, the fact is that that program is available, and we do not have a local coordinator in Apopka that is actually working to try to get investment dollars into South Apopka.
Okay. We have a caller on the line. Diane, if you'll stay through the break, we'll take your call first thing after the break. One last question before the break for you, though, Glenn. What in South Apopka and the minority communities you're going to, what are they telling you they would like most?
They would like a mayor to pay attention. They have ideas. They have been presenting ideas, the same as I ran up against presenting ideas about the red light camera to the city council and also to the mayor. They have ideas. So you talk to the folks in South Apopka that are running mentoring programs, that are running all kinds of local businesses or would like to expand local businesses or launch local businesses. South Apopka is a vibrant community full of a lot of ideas, full of wonderful, bright young people, and they have they want someone to pay attention and come down and listen and then take action on what they have to say.
And you also told me there's a lot of minority businesses that are leaving Apopka because of the regulatory nightmare that is coming from City Hall.
Absolutely. I talked to a great local minority leader that they were trying to launch a nightclub. And their club was shut down by code enforcement, and they finally gave up and launched practically the same exact facility over in a neighboring community. They just gave up. I mean, they feel like they're constantly having doors slammed in their face. One of my biggest problems when campaigning in South Apopka is trying to convince anyone down there to even bother to vote, because had so many doors slammed in their face for so long that they don't even realize that change is even possible.
Okay. Don't forget, folks, Glenn Chansey at glennchansey.com if you want to help him out.
My friends, I've been talking to you for a long time about Roxy Pacifics. A lot of you know all about it. Basically what it is, it's just kelp water. There's nothing else added to it. They don't add vitamins and minerals. It has vitamins and minerals in the kelp water. Let me give you an idea of a few of the benefits of kelp water Luann just sent me. All right, it protects, you'll love this, against radiation poisoning. Due to kelp's high natural iodine levels, it prevents the thyroid from uptaking harmful levels of radioactive iodine present after a nuclear disaster. And a lot of people out there in California with that stuff washing up on shore from Japan, there is a big concern about it. Also, cancer prevention, especially estrogen-sensitive cancers such as breast, endometrial, and ovarian cancers. It's an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antibiotic, antiviral. Folks, if you'd like to order some Roxy Pacifics, write this number down right now. 619-654-4829, RoxyPacifics.net.
AM 660, The Answer.
I think he's saying bad, good, good, bad. One of those good, bad things. Folks, American Adversaries, Larry Adams, Christopher Hart. We also have in the studio with us Glenn Chansey, who's running for mayor of Apopka. On the line right now, we have a couple callers. First would be Diane, and she is a resident of Apopka. And she has a question for Glenn. Diane, how are you tonight?
I'm absolutely great. How are you?
Great. Thanks awesome. For calling, Diane. And your question, please.
I would like to know what Mr. Chansey thinks about Common Core.
Okay. I don't know if that's an issue in this campaign, but she asked the question.
No, no problem.
Oh, I'm sorry. We got this mic. Okay, here we go. All right.
Okay, no problem. No, that's not really an issue in the campaign. However, I am 100% unalterably opposed to Common Core on every single possible level.
All right. I think that answers your question, Diane. Is that what you were looking for?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, I hope you'll get out and vote and give Glenn serious consideration, okay? If I were in Apopka, I think this guy'd have my vote. All right. Let's go now to Dave. Thank you for calling this afternoon, Dave. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. So, yeah, I was just curious. A mayor that's been there that long, what's his salary?
Well, that's a complicated question. The salary was, I think, right at $167,000. At one point, he was paid more than the governor of the state of Florida. But the last 2 years,
I think he's paid more than Buddy Dyer, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years, he's been taking only, I think, I've heard two numbers, $13,000 or $19,000. for medical expenses. So my take on now that we have in Apopka, we have amended the city charter as of December so that we have a full-time city manager. My thought process behind the mayor's office is that we should really give serious consideration to that becoming a part-time position.
And lowering the salary accordingly.
And lowering the salary accordingly, yes, absolutely. So that is something I think we could do.
Dave, thank you, Dave. We appreciate you calling. Now that we have the phone lines open, let's give away two bottles of Roxy Pacifics to the first two callers at 407-774-8255. If you would like a free bottle of that great stuff Lara was just talking about moments ago, 407-774-8255 is the number. The first two people will get a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics on the rocks. That's compliments of Ed and Luann Roxy, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X dot net.
Now, Glenn, be honest with you, guy. I think you have an uphill battle here, mainly because the current mayor is so popular. He's got a huge sympathy vote behind him, and the man's been there 60 years, and he's an old fella, and he's a likable guy. And
is he that popular?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that there's we have to keep in mind the amount of population growth that we've had in Apopka. And I'm getting emails from folks that are saying, we've got to change. I spend all my time and all my entertainment dollars outside of Apopka. I want to stay close to home. I want to make memories with my neighbors. I want to be able to spend my money locally. And they're very aware of the fact that with Mayor Land continuing in office, things really aren't going to change the way that we need them to change. We need to move on. We are no longer a very small town. We're the second largest community in Orange County. We need a professional public service sector. We need to be even have a complaint form on our website and a phone number to call when we call and be able to make suggestions for how to improve the city, which is something we just really don't have. So there's a lot of people, 10,000 plus people in the past decade that have moved to Apopka, and they are looking for a change. They're looking for something different. Plus, there's a lot of residents who have been there for a long time that recognize we simply need to do things better. We are the second largest community in Orange County. We need to act like it.
And I presume after all this conversation, you would be far more friendly to businesses who would want to start in Apopka.
You have to lower the barriers to entry. I mean, if you look at Apopka, I've talked to people about this. They walk up and down. They say, hey, we have a bunch of Dollar Generals. We have a bunch of chain restaurants. We need to do something about that. And I said, absolutely. Why don't you understand the root cause of why we have that? The chains have legal staffs. The chains have compliance departments. The chains can come in and deal with the various code enforcement and other regulatory barriers that we've erected in Apopka. Mom and pops can't. So the way that you do that is not through more government and saying, hey, we're going to outlaw Burger King or something. The way you do that is you lower the barriers to entry so that mom and pop enterprises, particularly minority-owned enterprises, can get off the ground for a reasonable budget. You make the playing field level for everyone, and you encourage business by becoming a facilitator of economic activity and not a roadblock to people realizing the American dream. The American dream is not really home ownership, in my opinion. This country was actually founded on independent family farms and independent businesses. It's about being able to make your way in this world, and that's what we've unfortunately gotten in the way of in Apopka.
Folks, you've heard it from Glenn Chansey. He's running for mayor of Apopka. If you live in Apopka, please get out and vote and give Glenn some serious consideration. Sounds like the guy's got the plan we need. Glenn Chansey, that's G-L-E-N, Chansey, C-H-A-N-C-Y.com, GlennChansey.com. If you can volunteer, perhaps donate if you'd like to find out more about him. And he's out working the streets real hard, and you're going to be working real hard right through, go ahead, through the 11th.
Yeah, I just wanted to invite everybody out. We are having a meet and greet tonight from 7 to 9 at Frogger's in Apopka. So if you do happen to have an opportunity, you want to come by and meet me, throw questions at me, please stump the candidate, please feel free.
All right, that's Frogger's in Apopka. You can't forget that. That's easy to remember.
Well, hopefully you remember tomorrow. We will be back at 5 o'clock. That's going to do it for the American Adversaries.
We did give those two bottles away of Roxy Pacifics. We'll reveal the names tomorrow. Nick's still writing stuff down.
Oh, we'll blab who won. All right, well, maybe we'll give some more away tomorrow.
Folks,
American Adversaries saying good night.
Night, everybody.